our hymn books this morning. We'll be using those, and we'll sing a bunch of the good choruses that are in there. First one is number 730.
Thank you for safely getting here. Thank you for bringing the Hitchens here safely. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, shedding your blood for us, for our sins.
Yes.
And there'd be no reason to do this without that. So we thank you for it. Help us to never forget that. Help it to be in the forefront of our thoughts as we sing these songs, as we sing about these things, and not to just gloss over it. Help us to remember why this is important. And thank you for it. We pray you bless our time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Major announcement I have for Sunday school is a reminder about the breakfast coming up on August the 17th. Gladly said they would be here and be with us for that time, and also the Sunday right after. So I hope you'll come and join us. We'll have a good time of fellowship, bring some good food. The church provides everything else. We always have a great time with these, so hope you'll come and join us Saturday, August 17th, 9 o'clock in the morning. All right, so hope you'll come and join us. I will mention one other thing. Jim mentioned an announcement earlier about the devotional book we call The Baptist Bread. We ran out. However, I brought mine in. And as long as you leave it here, those of you who haven't signed up already, if you want to look at it, you can do so. But please leave it here because I'm using it. Okay? I just brought it in so everybody can see it and have a look at it if they would like to. Okay? And that comes out every 2 months. So the current one is for July and August. So if you sign up for it, the new one will come out in September. Yes, Jim?
Yeah, this will be the last time you need to sign up.
Okay.
Take it down and reorder it.
Okay. All right. So I have it here on the organ if you'd like to look at it, and then sign up on the list if you would like to sign up and have it done so. All right. I think that's it for announcements for Sunday school. Let's get back to singing. Let's turn the page, and we'll sing 742, When the Lord Saved Me.
Jesus, my Lord.
missed last week. The one we missed last week is Chris Mitchell. Good to have you with us again today. And then the birthday this week is Dennis Farrelly. So let's sing happy birthday to these guys.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Well, we have one children's class and it can be dismissed today. While they're going, we're in Mark chapter 12. Studying Mark's gospel is called the First Commandment. We're used to calling it the Great Commandment. We're going to study Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. I'll say that one time together. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Just another second here to turn to it. All right, here we go. Mark 12, 29 through 31. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." All right. As we've noted before, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four fit under the first commandment, and the last six fit under the second.
Hey, glad to see everyone here this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day that we have today. And good to be in God's house. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter number 4, if you will. Philippians chapter number 4. As you're turning, my wife and I have a new CD. It's back on the table back there. If you're interested after the service, you can see Sam. He'll take care of that. And Philippians chapter number 4, just before we read and pray, let me say that the church at Philippi, if you remember, had its beginning there in Acts chapter number 16, as Paul and Silas came to Philippi. They went down by the river. Remember, they met Lydia and some other folks that were there meeting together. And said the Lord opened her heart, speaking of Lydia. And then, of course, later, that young lady was following Paul and Silas, and she was possessed with an evil spirit. Paul cast a spirit out of her, and, of course, that caused an uproar, and he ended up in prison. You know, someone has said every time Paul went to a new city, the first thing he did was check out the jail because he knew that's probably where he was going to end up. And he did. He ended up in the jail in Philippi. And at midnight, you know, it says that they were singing psalms and praising God in the innermost prison. And then the earthquake hit. And the jailer, of course, sprang in, the Bible says, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the jailer got saved. Then later, his whole household responded. They all got baptized. So there's the beginning of the church at Philippi. Now, Paul is in prison in Rome. And so this is one of his prison epistles. He's writing back to the church at Philippi to encourage them. And all the way through this book, a little book of four chapters, all the way through this book, he talks about joy. And think about that. He's sitting in jail now. And I'm sure the Roman prisons, you know, were not the best places to be. And yet he's talking about joy. Well, you know, joy depends on our relationship to the Lord, doesn't it? It's vertical. If we're in the right relationship with the Lord, we can have joy. Now, happiness is horizontal. That depends on, you know, how things go down here. Things don't always go the way we'd like down here. So you're not always happy. But you can be joyful, can't you? And so all the way through this little book, he talks about the joy of the Lord. And then we get down to verse number 11 of chapter 4. And here's what he says. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Let me read that again. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Let's bow for the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be here in the house of God again today. Again, thank you for this Lord's Day that you've given us. It's a day that you've made, and Lord, we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you that we can assemble here with your people in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can still gather in freedom without persecution. Thank you for these freedoms that we enjoy in the United States of America. Lord, I'm sure there are lots of places that folks would like to be able to assemble with this freedom, but they don't have it. But we do. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We don't know how long we'll be able to have it, but we're thankful for it now. And help us, I pray, Lord. I pray for our country. Our country has many, many needs. And Lord, we need revival. That's the greatest need that we have. But Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts, have your will and way in our lives as we look into your word today. And for all that you do, we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' wonderful name. For his sake, we ask it. Amen. He says again that 11th verse, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, and whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul said he learned that. That's not something that comes naturally, does it? I don't know about you, but I find myself in lots of situations where I'm not content. That's something we have to learn, don't we? Paul said he learned that. Well, that's a great lesson. Learned to be content, he said. Now I want to share with you some things this morning on how to be content in your present state. How to be content in your present state. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that you ought not to be looking for a pastor. I'm not saying that at all. You should be, right? And you are, and we're praying to that end. That God has somebody out there, right? I know it's been over 2 years, and we don't like to wait, do we? If we're honest. But it's best to wait on the Lord. We get into trouble when we don't wait on the Lord, don't we? And, you know, you have probably run across some resumes that you could have brought some fellas in. Could have had some fellas preach. But you obviously didn't feel right about them because you didn't bring them in. And look, it's much easier. It's a lot harder to get rid of somebody than it is to get them. You don't want to get the wrong person in here, do you? I know of a church, and the fellow that's the pastor now is a good friend of mine. And there are folks in that church who are friends of mine. But some years ago, the pastor of that church, who was he was a good man, but he felt like the Lord wanted him to resign, and he did, and he went back to Alabama where he'd come from. And when he left there, he recommended a fellow for the church. Well, everybody had such respect for this former pastor, they just took him at his word. They didn't really check out this guy he recommended. And it turned out to be a disaster. I mean, he tore it up. So you really have to check people out, don't you? Much easier to get somebody than just get rid of them sometimes. And you don't want the wrong person here. And so, you know, we have to do this. We do criminal background checks. You know, this day and time, you got to do that, don't you? Isn't that sad? It is sad, but you got to do it. Christian Law Association recommends we do that for our Sunday school teachers. Because you get in a situation and a Sunday school teacher, somehow takes advantage of a child or something, molests a child or something, and you didn't do a background check, church is liable. So, yeah, you got to do that to stay in time. And so when we're saying, you know, to be content, we're not saying you ought not to be looking for a pastor. You definitely should be. And praying that, you know, God will send the right person at the right time. But you can be content with what the Lord's doing right now, can't you? Obviously, God's not done with Ray Street Baptist Church. He's not. And just because you don't have a pastor right now doesn't mean that, you know, God's not working. I know 2 years is a long time. I know the church went 5. You definitely don't want to go that long. But then God did send somebody. So it's a matter of being patient, isn't it? And being content until that time. So when he said, Paul said, I've learned to be content. Whatsoever state I am, there would be content. How can we be content in our present state? Well, number one, recognize that God has allowed you to be where you are. He has allowed us to be where we are, hasn't he? And every one of us that are saved are running a race, but we're all running in individual lanes. We're not competing with each other, are we, in the race? My race is different than yours. No, the races are not the same, are they? Some folks are on the mission field, and that's the lane they're running in. Some folks are Christian school teachers. That's the lane they're running in. Some folks are out working a secular job, but they're serving the Lord there. That's the lane they're running in. We've got to run the race in the lane where God's put us, right? And recognize that he's allowed us to be where we are. It's very easy to become discontented because things don't always go the way we would like, do they? And boy, the devil has a heyday when things go wrong. You ever have a pity party? Somebody said that there's only two people who come to a pity party, you and the devil. Nobody else comes. Woe is me. And look, we're not alone in that. You know, when I read scripture, these people in the Bible, they had problems like that too, didn't they? David, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Yeah, he went through that. Elijah, Lord, I'm the only one left. Nobody else is standing. But where we are, as we're trying to serve the Lord, that is now. Now, if a person is saved and living in sin, then they ought not to be content there, right? Or if a person is saved and out of God's will, they ought not to be content there. But if we're saved and our life is clean and we're in the will of God, then we can be content regardless of how the situation goes. And it may not be ideal. It may not be what we're looking for. I'm sure, if Paul had his way, don't you think he'd rather been somewhere else in a Roman prison? Sure. But that's where he is. God has allowed him to be there, right? And there really isn't anything he can do about it. He is there. God's allowed him to be there. And there's nothing he can do about it. Just look to the Lord. And so, how to be content in your present state? Recognize that God has allowed you to be where you are. And then here's the second thing. Recognize that your present circumstances are working together for your good. Romans 8:28. I know we quote that. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But it's true, isn't it? That is a true statement. All things do work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say that everything's going to be good, though, does it? But it says it's working together for our good. Did anybody read the Baptist Bread this morning? Jim, you read it? My wife read it. Story in there about a man who was, he and his sons were going to market with their goods. And the son had talked about, I guess, getting to the market early, you know, before everybody else got there. And but anyhow, the father, I guess, maybe delayed a little bit, and the father wanted to stop and talk to relatives and everything. And so when they finally got to where they were heading towards the market, guess what? It was the city of Hiroshima. The atomic bomb had been dropped, and Hiroshima was no more. So this Japanese farmer and his son, because they delayed, were spared. Otherwise, they'd have been killed in that blast. An example of how God protects people. So recognize that your present circumstances are working together for your good. Although we can't always see it, can we? I guess if we could see how it all worked, we wouldn't need any faith. We would like to see how things are going to work out, though, wouldn't we? Don't we like to look down the road and see how this could work out this way, this is going to work out this way? But we can't. All we can do is take one step at a time and trust God. Things may not work out the way we would like. But if we're in the center of his will, seeking to serve him, they'll work out according to his will. And his plan is far better than ours. Our plans don't always work out, do they? I know I've mentioned this before, but if you look at old high school yearbooks, they always ask the seniors, what are your plans? Everybody's got plans. But 10 years down the road, if you were to see those people, did your plans work out? Probably a lot of them didn't. Some of them did, probably. But I imagine there are probably a lot of folks, their plans didn't work out the way they thought, did they? Because there are things that are unforeseen that come our way. We have a fell in our church. He came to our Bible college, and he was planning to go to Alaska as a missionary. But one night he was playing basketball, and he left after the basketball game was over, headed home, got hit out on Route 40, and he ended up in a wheelchair and in bed for the rest of his life. That was like 30 some years ago that happened. He didn't plan on that. But it happened. And I'll tell you, when you go to talk to him, he's a fellow that's always got the joy of the Lord. Always praising the Lord. You know, I think sometimes maybe God leaves some people around like that just for the rest of us. Because after talking to him, you walk out and you think, well, I don't have any problems. After talking to him, and he can be joyful in the midst of that. Look, if he can be joyful, certainly I can. Well, recognize our present circumstances working together for our good. And here's another thing. Recognize that God has something to teach you in your present state. There's something that he wants to teach us. My wife and I have been saved 54 years now. And I've just scratched the surface as far as what I know about this book. That's why I remember an old teacher we had in Bible college, and he was my age at that time. And he made that statement. He said, I've been preaching and teaching 50 years, and I just scratched the surface. Look, if we just scratched the surface, how much is there more to learn? I don't know if any of you have any of the books by Andrew Murray or not. Anybody have any of his books? Okay, Andrew Murray wrote a series of books, With Christ in the School of, several different, With Christ in the School of Prayer, With Christ in the School of Obedience, With Christ in the School, several different titles along that line. Well, the point is, we're in school. We are in school, aren't we? And, you know, when we get to the place where we think we can't learn anything else, you know, we're in bad shape. I learned something this morning. A fellow told me, he said, do you know your name spelled backwards is the same, B-O-B? Hey, I learned something. But every day that we live, we should be learning something, shouldn't we? And God has plenty more to teach us. So recognize that God has something to teach you in your present state. Now, here's another one. How about this one? Quit feeling sorry for yourself. That's very easy to do, isn't it? I've used that illustration that about the fellow that could sit on a dime and dangle his legs. That's pretty low, isn't it? It's very easy to feel sorry for ourselves. You know, Psalm 73 is interesting. Remember Psalm 73, the psalmist? He's looking around at people around him, particularly and the psalmist is a saved man, but he's looking around at all the unsaved people around him, and they're prospering. And they're having a good time. And they don't seem to have any troubles. And yet he said, I've got all these troubles, and he's feeling sorry for himself. But then he said he went into the house of God, and that's when everything changed, didn't it? Because he began to see things from God's point of view. And those people, the unsaved out there, were in slippery places, weren't they? Headed for an eternity in hell. You know, the worst we're ever going to have it, for a Christian, the worst we're ever going to have it is right in this life. This is the worst we're ever going to have it. for the lost person, the best they're ever going to have it is in this life, isn't it? Because when they leave this life, it's like the rich man in Luke 16. He died. He was buried. It says in hell he lifted up his eyes and being in torments. So he had his good things in this life, but then it's eternity in hell. For the beggar, he's carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The worst he had it was in this life, but then he's carried to Abraham's bosom. And it's all eternity in the Lord's presence. So we need to quit feeling sorry for ourselves, don't we? Here's another one. Keep busy. This is how to be content in your present state. Keep busy. That way you don't have time to dwell on the problems, do you? If you're busy. I guarantee you, if there's not, I realize you don't have a pastor right now, but when you do get a pastor, I guarantee you he would find something for you to do. Every church I know of has needs of some sort, right? And if folks want to do something, there is something that can be done. Think about this. If everybody did what they could do, wow. Remember what Jesus said about the woman that, you know, anointed him with the ointment from the alabaster box, spikenard. And Jesus said about her, she had done what she could. Wow, that's quite a commentary, isn't it? If he could say that about us, that we've done what we could, a lot would get done, wouldn't it? So how to be content in your present state? Keep busy. Here's another one. Get your mind off your problems and on your opportunities. In Philippians 4:22, the Apostle Paul talks about people that had gotten saved in Caesar's household. He says that 22nd verse, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. How did they become saints? Because they evidently got saved through his ministry there in the prison. So evidently, here's Paul in jail, and he's thinking, well, here I am. God's allowed me to be here. Now, what can I do? Well, these folks need to get saved. So here's an opportunity to witness. And it worked, and folks got saved. So all of us have opportunities that come our way, don't they? And by the way, all of us have a sphere of influence. I have a message. I have a message on soul winning. I've never preached it up here yet. I'm going to here one of these days. But that, you know, that the Lord, if you think about it, he could have saved us and taken us home immediately if he wanted to. But he didn't do that, did he? He left us here. Well, why did he do that? Because he wants us to be his witness. There are folks all around us that need to be saved. And every single one of us have a circle of influence. We have a circle of influence, and there are probably people that you know that I'll never meet. But they know you, and you know them, and you have an influence over them. And so God wants to use us in that circle of influence that we have. Not everybody's going to listen. I know that. Some folks get mad. Some folks don't want to hear it. But some folks will listen. And even though they may get mad, that doesn't mean they're not listening. I know I probably told it up here. My brother got saved when I was 13. And he used to give me tracts and witness to me. And boy, I'd get mad at him. Tell him, leave me alone. Don't talk to me about that. But you know what? It was sinking in. Even though I was outwardly rebelling against that, it was sinking in. It was making an impression. But we all have a circle of influence. So we need to get our mind off our problems and all our opportunities. Then here's this one. Thank God for the blessings and rejoice in the Lord. Lord, thank you for your blessings today, even though I'm sitting in prison. Thank you for your blessings. In everything, what? In everything, give thanks. Why?
This is the will
of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Boy, that's not easy to do sometimes, is it? No, it's not. But he says, do it. And a thankful heart. Boy, that changes things, doesn't it? Thank God for his blessings. Rejoice in the Lord. How about this one? Try to see God's purpose for having you where you are. Now, you may not be able to, but at least you can try. I've had people say, you know, the place where I work, it's so wicked. I can't be a witness for the Lord there. Well, maybe that's why you're there, because it's so wicked. God puts people where the need is, doesn't he? Those that are whole don't need a physician. It's those that are sick that need a physician, right? So, you know, try to see God's purpose, you know, in having you where you are. Keep your eyes on the Lord and not on circumstances. How are you doing today? Well, all right, under circumstances. Not supposed to be under them, are we? We're supposed to be on top of them. Keeping our eyes on him. Then here's the last thing. Recognize that God's grace is sufficient for you in your present state. Here's Philippians 4:13. I know you know the verse. It says, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things. There is grace for us, sufficient grace, in our present state. Regardless of what it is. And if God has allowed us to be there, he knows where we are, he knows every detail about it, and he's got the grace to help us in that situation, doesn't he? So that's why Paul could say, but I speak in respect, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. There is every reason why we can be content today. I know we live in a troubled world, and it's not getting better. It's not going to get easier, is it? But Jesus said, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. No, you're not going to find out in the world, but he has peace and he has grace to help us to be content in our present state. Any comments or questions before we stop today? Ralph.
What you've been talking about kind of reminds me of the prophet Elisha's servant when Assyria has them all surrounded. I think it was at Dothan.
Yeah.
And, you know, the servant looks out and he panics because there's all these Assyrians out there. And then Elisha prays, open his eyes that he may see.
Open this man's eyes.
And then he looks up and there's all the host of heaven.
Yeah.
There. And that night, all the Assyrians were either, they either ran away or they were killed.
Yeah. Changed everything. Yeah, opened this man's eyes and he saw that great host. Yeah, very true. Anything else? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this time. Thank you for your word. Again, thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes it, applies it to our hearts. Pray you bless now as we go on the morning service. Have your will and way there. And Lord, for what you do, again, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' matchless name. And for his sake, we ask it. Amen. Amen.